welcome. This is a special transmission. It's Red Ice Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and we are coming to you from Sweden in Scandinavia. Proud to be on top of the European continent, but worried to be trapped inside the European Union. Our website is redicecreations.com. Go there for much more information on what we're doing here. Dave Massey from Truth Coalition Ireland contacted me after he heard our interview with David Icke not too long ago, and they wanted to come on the program to talk further about the EU, the upcoming Lisbon Treaty vote in Ireland, and why they not decided to have David Icke talking over in Ireland about these subjects as first was planned. David Icke mentioned this on the program, and we're going to clear this off the table first, and then we're going to move on to discuss what Truth Coalition Ireland are doing to provide the Irish people with the right information so they can make the right choice in the upcoming second referendum on the Treaty of Lisbon. The Irish are not only voting for themselves, they are the only country for constitutional purposes that is going to vote on the issue, but they also kind of represent the 500 million or so people of the European Union that have basically been denied by their national governments to hold a referendum on the Treaty of Lisbon. The French and the Dutch, as you probably know by now if you listen to this program, said no back in 2005. And if the Eurocrats and the Euro elite had the balls to give us, the people of Europe, a vote, I'm convinced it would be a resounding no. Even though the EU spent about 2.4 billion euros in 2008 on propaganda, that is more than Coca-Cola spends on advertising each year worldwide, by the way. I don't know if that says more about the EU or Coca-Cola, but anyway, our money is being spent on TV channels, radio stations, pro-EU stuff. I can just imagine how school kids are being targeted by the EU's propaganda as well. It also funds think tanks like the European Council on Foreign Relations, ECFR, spearheaded by the globalist Martti Ahtisaari, musician Brian Eno, and prick George Soros, just to mention a few. He wrote The Alchemy of Finance, by the way, and funded the Georgian Rose Revolution. But we want an Irish no vote in this upcoming referendum on the Treaty of Lisbon. And we have Simon Murphy and Paul Flynn from Truth Coalition Ireland with us today to talk about all of these issues. Their website is truthcoalitionireland.org. We will have this linked up on redicecreations.com as well. Go there, check it out and see what they're doing. So with that, welcome to the program, Simon and Paul.
How are you doing? How are you doing, mate?
Excellent to have you here, guys. I'm doing very, very well, except all the stuff that's going on right now with the EU, obviously. So maybe we can just clear this off the table first, so to speak. David Icke's talk in Ireland. He has a name. He's a former BBC sports presenter. He has gotten a lot of media attention. And, you know, in a grave time like this, basically, any publicity is good publicity, if you ask me. I think it's a mistake not to go ahead with the Icke's talk over in Ireland. That's what I think. What do you guys think, and what does Truth Coalition Ireland think about this issue?
Okay, Henrik. Well, we've a lot of respect for David Icke, and actually, we didn't actually invite David. We were contacted by his people and asked, could we help them find some venues around Dublin to do the talk? And we agreed happily to help them find a venue. So we found a venue, and they were organising the event. And we got some information from a number of different people that work in the media and they're working on the no side. And they actually asked us to contact them and ask us to ask David's people to maybe leave it till after Lisbon, because the media were going to use that as ammunition to kind of bring down the no side on the Lisbon Treaty and, you know, turn it into a propaganda war, which will take away from the real issues for Lisbon. So at the time, as we said, we didn't actually invite David. We decided to help him, no problem, because we have so much respect for him. But we asked him, could they leave it till after the Lisbon Treaty for maybe David to come over and do his talk?
Okay. And maybe someone else is listening in right now in Ireland that can help provide David the means to speak over in Ireland. Would you guys oppose that, or is it basically that you don't want to be associated with this at this moment, or am I getting this wrong?
Well, to be honest, Henrik, we've no problem with David, and anybody who'd like to bring him over, we'd happily see David and we'd come to his talk. But for the time being, we have so much going on with Lisbon and trying to, you know, get the information out to the people that we really wouldn't have time right now to, you know, get involved with David's conference or talk. So we kind of explain our situation to David's people and they seemed happy enough that where we stood. As you know, we're putting together the Sovereign Independence and we're putting out a number of flyers, and we just, you know, time constraints and the little time that we have left to fight against the propaganda war that the Irish media seems to be putting out on Lisbon, it just wouldn't allow us enough time to do everything.
Okay. So I think we came to the consensus that our time would be best spent if we spent a lot more time in the newspaper rather than worrying about a single personality, even though he's a massive personality, definitely.
Yeah.
And he would bring publicity to it. But we don't know what would happen. And it's such an important vote for everybody in Europe that we felt we couldn't really take the risk. And I think if people actually look at the facts and the facts alone and not get scared away from it, because a lot of people in Ireland don't know anything about the New World Order. And we really wanted to just present the facts to them, how this vote would affect them, their lives, their families, the economy, and just look at it that. And then kind of afterwards, then bring people into the wider world of the New World Order. But at the moment, let's concentrate on getting a no vote first and then concentrate on battling the wider problems afterwards. But just concentrate on the vote first.
Totally agree there. And again, then the invitation stands open. If someone has the time to bring David over, want to arrange something there, try to contact David and try to see if something can be set up there, because I think that the word needs to be spread on multiple levels to many people as possible, and it doesn't matter from what perspective people come from here, so to speak. There's a common agenda here that people have that want to see a no vote here. But anyway, let's talk about Truth Coalition Ireland and what you guys are doing over there, and I'd like to ask you as well kind of a little bit of generally how the consensus, I guess, is over in Ireland right now. The Euro elite are speculating that it actually will be yes vote now, this time, the second referendum. What do you guys think?
Yes, well, at the moment, there's polls in a number of papers that obviously reporting that there seems to be a swing to the yes side this time round, Henrik. And we don't seem to believe this, obviously, because we've been out on the street talking to people, friends and family, and everybody we know seems to be going for the no side. But, of course, there seems to be the propaganda being pushed by the mainstream media, the newspapers and TV stations, and they seem to be saying that there seems to be a swing to the yes, which we don't believe is true. So this time round, we've decided that we're going to put out a paper called Sovereign Independent, and within that paper has plenty of information about what Lisbon really means for the people of Ireland and the people of Europe. We have a number of articles on the militarization of the EU, of what happened with the economy and why there's a worldwide recession going on, and basically just trying to inform people of the real information that the mainstream media fails and refuses to print.
Plus, I think it's an optimum time too. People are angry at the moment where the economy is going, they're asking questions, they feel very vulnerable, so they're like kind of wondering who can we trust at the moment. And this is where proper information needs to get out to the people. You know, and some people, especially myself, when I woke up for the first time, I was sick of being lied to. And that's the main thing. Mm. And we really, really just need to get that information out there, information that can be, it's bulletproof, can back it, it's documented. And, you know, and if people want to bash, you know, that they're going to have to bash, you know, it'll be kind of the messenger rather than the message,
yes.
You know. It has to be about the message, not about people bringing it, not about personalities. This is pure. This is about like 500 million people. And I don't think Ireland kind of does, and it doesn't realize how significant this vote is
exactly
for everybody's futures. Yeah. No, I don't think the European elite is going to stop with a no vote, but it's going to send a powerful message by giving a no vote.
Well, absolutely. I mean, for all we know, as it is right now, the treaty is set up and all that, and the fact that all countries must ratify the referendum. Basically, if it is a continued no in Ireland, then this thing won't go through, and that's a good thing. And we can, again, they will keep on pushing a vote over and over and over and over again. But if it would be a yes, they would never have a vote. Okay, do we want to get out of this? Do we want to have a no vote now? So the agenda here is clear what they want, so to speak, the Eurocrats and the Euro elite. The question is, you're starting up a new paper. That's excellent. Very good. The question is, can that reach out to a mass number of people in time? Or do you guys have other plans as well? How about putting ads in other papers, other kinds of media, radio, TV, and so forth?
Well, we have a number of radio interviews lined up, and we have an interview lined up with a couple of Irish magazines that we'll hopefully, you know, raise awareness of the paper. We actually, so far, we've been trying to get donations from people all over Europe. And, you know, you can go onto the website sovereignindependent.com or .org and donate there. And it gives the people of Europe a chance to donate to something that will, you know, allow them to have their voice in the say on Europe. So far, we have funding for about 250,000 copies, which is quite substantial in a country the size of 4 million people.
Yes.
So, and what we're doing is aiming towards the swing towns, as we're saying, which is the towns that were close to a little bit on the yes side, and some, you know, came close to a yes vote. So our target audience is the people that did vote yes the last time. And actually, interestingly, in the paper there recently, a couple of days ago, I think last Sunday, there was an article that the government are worried about the people on the yes side, because a poll showed that the yes people are not satisfied with the government's, you know, reasons to vote yes. But the no side seems to be solid. They will not change their mind because they are aware of, you know, what this Lisbon Treaty will mean for everybody in Europe and the Irish people.
Yeah, I feel the biggest weakness on the yes side especially is, even if you're in favour of a federal Europe, that the arguments that the yes side are putting forward, they don't stack up. It's not going to help the economy, especially in Ireland. Our corporate tax rate is going to go up because of this. There's a lot of implications. You know, we're a small country. We've a few incentives that get companies over here in the first place. And saying it's because of Europe we're in the great position that we got into. Whereas they don't look at, you know, our exchange rate in the early 90s, and various other factors like that. Like countries like Italy and, you know, other countries like that have struggled because of Europe and, you know, taking natural resources and various things like that. And people don't look at that. They kind of want this whole, you know, they think true unity and this collectivist kind of ideology.
Yes.
This is the way forward for everybody, you know, even if a big chunk of society gets left behind.
So I want to ask you how you distribute the paper as well. Is it directed to people in the mailbox, or are you out on the streets handing them out?
Well, we have a number of volunteers that actually have been contacting us from all over Ireland, and they've agreed to hand out papers on the streets. We also have a number of people that do regular deliveries, you know, to shops and to people's doors of different sort of flyers and things like that. And they said they will also hand them out and put them in people's doors. So we've a number of different ways, and we're constantly looking for more people. We seem to be gathering a bit of a movement, and we're getting a lot more people every day contacting us by email from all around Ireland, and basically spreading that information and getting awareness out there.
Yes, it's actually amazing the response of people. I must thank, if anybody's listening from Ireland, thank you. And if anybody's contributed so far, the amount of people, you know, contributing articles and their time, and, you know, it's been kind of mind-blowing, actually. And if we keep that momentum up, we can achieve absolutely anything. And I think what the thing to do is to realize you have to act now, not 2-3 weeks down the time, you know, when, you know, people could probably be making up their mind right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we miss that opportunity, that window of opportunity, you know, it could be gone for a lot of people. So,
we're also actually putting out about 80,000 flyers, Hendrik. So we do have people handing out flyers, but our main objective right now is the Sovereign Independent newspaper. And as we said, like, we're up to 250,000 copies, and we do have, you know, in the paper, we're asking people to donate so that we can put out another run of the paper and hopefully get another 250,000 papers delivered out. So 500,000 papers in a country of 4 million people will be a massive impact.
Absolutely. And are you guys worried about the yes side propaganda at all? You're out there on the ground floor, so to speak. Do you see any trails of the yes agenda yet?
I personally think people aren't buying it. In certain cases, majority of the cases, some people are and some people aren't. People are kind of, I've been talking to a few people, some people are just out of college. And, you know, you're kind of in that kind of state where you just get out of college and believe everything your professor tells you and, you know, every politician tells you. They're kind of, I can even see them questioning a little bit as well. So I think, you know, yeah, at the start people are going to say yes, but yeah, you have to, you know, you have to look where those polls are taken. If they're taken in the city areas, generally people would be more favourable to more United Europe. Where you go into country areas where people are a bit more conservative with their values, they don't want this at all.
Yeah.
You have to see where the polling is taking place, and they're going to try and twist it a bit and tweak the numbers. It's hard to know how they're being polled, but...
Another interesting fact, Henrik, is that there has been a number of protests around Ireland for a number of different reasons, whether it be, you know, cutting of child benefit, the cutting of education, you know, they've dropped teachers, and the farmers have been out and, you know, are very angry around the country for a number of reasons. And all these groups, the fishermen, the taxis, and I actually spoke to a taxi driver recently in Ireland, and, he, you know, as far as he's concerned, all the taxi drivers are voting no. It seems the farmers will vote no, even though, you know, the farmers' union is advocating a yes, but as it showed last time, the farmers didn't follow what, you know, what the unions are telling them to do. They, as individuals, they go out and vote no. So... although the propaganda war is there and they're kind of trying to tell people that, you know, reasons to vote yes, but again, their reasons are, you know, they're very watered down. They don't really mean anything. It says, you know, we must be at the heart of Europe and for the economy. Mm. But, you know, when you really look into it, none of these reasons are solid and they don't make any sense when you look at the bigger picture.
I find it hilarious, actually, when people say the heart of Europe, because we're going to go from 2% of a vote to 0.8% of a vote. Now, you know, whether you believe in Europe or you don't believe in Europe, the fact that you've less of a say is going to say that your economy is going to suffer, pretending that politicians in Germany, who you don't vote for, are going to look out for your best interests.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
What the Federalists are looking for, and it's kind of quackery when you think about it. Like, I'm not going to tell a person what to believe. But I'm certainly going to tell them this is the facts, and yeah, what you're saying doesn't really stack up. They can believe in, oh, we might need a military or something like that, but look at what it's going to do for you.
Yes.
This is going to harm your business.
Absolutely.
So I think if I'm ever kind of trying to talk to people, I'm not trying to sell them on the New World Order idea so much. I'm trying to tell them this is how it's going to affect you right now.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a good tactic, by the way, because there's just so much information as well regarding how our, money is being spent within the EU, for instance, and all the fraud that goes on there. But one thing I want to ask you a little bit about before we kind of go into some of the information that you guys carry in the paper, some of the kind of bulletproof info, so to speak, is how about the voting process? I want to ask you kind of how it happened last time and if there is a possibility here of some kind of voting fraud taking place as well, considering the importance here for the Euro elite. And again, this is a something that is happening in the Western world, voting fraud and so forth. Do you think it's a possible factor to be worried about?
It's definitely something that we are concerned about, Henrik, but there is a political party in Ireland called Sinn Féin, and they tend to go out in force and they go to all the polling stations and they really do try and keep an eye on things. Now, you know, obviously voting fraud has happened in the Western world, but... the Irish people turned down electronic voting, and they actually had to scrap the idea because of all the, you know, the times it's been used for fraud. So we still have the written ballot, and there is, you know, there's plenty of people keeping an eye on how things are being run and watching, you know, ballot stations, making sure that there's not really, you know, extra votes being put into boxes and things like that. So although it is a concern, there is people watching, and I'm sure the government are aware.
I think the fact that we've held on to the paper ballot as well is, I think it makes the possibility of that kind of more remote. Now, it is possible, obviously, but...
Do you guys know if there's a specific committee or group at all that is kind of dedicated just to the Lisbon Treaty referendum overall to just try to make sure that it's being done and handled correctly in Ireland?
There's no particular group watching the ballot as such, but even as a member of the public, you can request that you can go in and keep an eye on things. And there is some good people out in Ireland that, you know, that will donate their time and keep an eye on to make sure things is all above board.
Right, guys. So how about we dive into some of the info here? Let's say we have someone listening here who is totally, you know, brand new, haven't even heard about the Lisbon Treaty, and like, yeah, well, I don't know how to vote or what you know, should I even care? What would you guys say to them to kind of make them realize the urgency and the importance of the situation that they're facing here?
I think the urgency is going to be kind of honed in on the economy. And if you've never heard about the New World Order, and people are worried about their pockets, if we're being honest, like everybody's going to be like that. The worry, can they pay the mortgage? Think, you know, simple things like that. And I think the Article 113 of the treaty, we actually, Henrik, there's actually Anthony Coughlin, which, you know, has been absolute amazing the last time round, and he is actually put out 13 reasons why we should, you know, consider voting no for, you know, on the Lisbon Treaty.
You're talking about, sorry to cut you off, you're talking about Anthony from YSEB Journal now?
No. This isn't Anthony from YSEB Journal. This is Anthony Coughlin. And
the National Platform.
He's from the National Platform.
Okay.
And he's put out 13 reasons, and he's had them, you know, he's had a number of lawyers and solicitors around Ireland and around Europe, and verified exactly what these 13 reasons, you know, taken exactly from the new constitution, which is the Lisbon Treaty, and he's pointed out, you know, a number of things that will affect Ireland, you know, for citizenship and, you know, the economy, taxes, and you know, all sorts of different things, and about, you know, the Irish Commissioner, and you know, really, we're pointing out to people, the government seems to think that, you know, the European elites have given us guarantees, but, you know, these guarantees are not legally binding, and this is one thing that we need to stress to people, that the guarantees given to the Irish are not legally binding. They're as much legally binding as me, you know, saying to you that, you know, I'll give you €100 tomorrow, but I can turn around and change my mind, and just as they can. There is nothing being changed in the Lisbon Treaty this time around. It's the exact same document we voted no. It's a very similar document to what the Dutch and the French turned down last time.
Yes.
And this is something that we need to stress to people. Nothing has changed. They're putting the exact same thing, you know, back in front of
Another thing too, if you're promising, something where you don't have any power in the future, which you vote would basically do, as Hans Pottering said before the Parliament in February, that 100% of the laws would come from Europe after Lisbon has been passed.
Yes.
And the thing about that is, it's like saying the janitor is going to promise something the manager, only the manager can promise. It's just not going to happen. Mm. They're under the thumb, basically, if there is all the power has been handed away. Even if, you know, there was even another point I'd like to make to people as well, even if this was a great treaty, even if this, you know, there wasn't anything very underhand about it, Article 48 of the treaty is basically giving the European elites a blank check to change whatever they want within it. And all they just need is the prime ministers to meet up in the council and change what they want in the treaties without having to go before the people. Even if there's nothing bad in this treaty, they can put something much worse in there.
Yes.
And people need to look at that, and people need to demand their rights back. And I think people out there, they got to get a little bit angry.
That's damn right.
And if they don't do it soon, they're going to lose everything. And, you know, and sometimes I try not to scare people by saying that to them. But if you do not, you know, if something inside you doesn't stir you up, you're going to lose everything.
That's right. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, they could literally, as you say, change everything afterwards as well. They have basically written in one of the paragraphs there, whatever, that, oh, by the way, in pure English, so to speak, not the Euro language that they sometimes use when they write, you know, in these referendums and so forth and the treaties. But basically, if there's something we haven't thought about here that we might want to change afterwards, we have the right to do that too. And this is going to totally override everything in regards to national governments, and we're basically signing it away. And we over up here in Sweden, I know in England as well, they just ratified this. It went through our parliaments, you know, super quick. It took like a couple of hours and it was done deal. And I haven't asked anybody. So again, the importance here and the focus is now on Ireland and how also other people from around Europe can kind of, you know, affect Ireland and Irish people to give them the right information. I know that there is one site who had a little bit about this kind of a petition and so forth last time around. It was called IrishFriendsVoteNoForMe.org or something like that. And I think that they're going to start up a second one as well. And that's something that people can do, at least if they're from outside Ireland in the rest of Europe. Go in on that site, sign up, and just, you know, in some way get the message across to Irish people again that a lot of European people here are actually against this. And it's important that the Irish people know this, I feel.
Even if people hailed mock ballots, would be another, you know, idea for people around Europe if they want to kind of show, do it in different areas, I know England, Sweden, or wherever, and just show, well, 60% of people would have voted no in this area, and just kind of mock ballots or some kind of anything that's kind of imaginative, just get people thinking, you know.
Also, Hendrik, there is actually a number of protests taking place, you know, in the Czech Republic. They're holding, I think, about 3 protests outside the Irish embassy. And they've actually contacted us and asked us for a copy of the paper so that they can have it printed to bring along and hand out outside the Irish embassy in the Czech Republic. And also we've been contacted by some people in Germany who actually want to hold a protest on the day of the Lisbon Treaty outside the Irish embassy in Germany.
Nice.
And there's a number of people around Europe and they all want to help out. There's I think there's about 300 French coming over to you know, protest. Leading up to the Lisbon Treaty vote.
Yeah.
So, and I think we have some Dutch coming over to protest as well, and they will all happily stand outside our government buildings with posters, you know, saying the French voted no, the Dutch have voted no, and you know, anybody who would like to come over, you know, make your way over to Ireland on a cheap flight, you know, and help us out on the ground, handing out flyers, handing out papers, and just really getting the information out there to the people. You know, we need everybody in Europe to help donate and protest and even, you know, form groups in their own country and protest.
Yes.
And it really send a message to the European elite that nobody in Europe is happy about this. We're, you know, we're lucky as a nation that we've been given the opportunity to vote. We have voted and we voted no. And the next day our minister, you know, just ignored what the people said and, you know, told the European elite to continue ratifying and that they would put the vote back in front of the Irish people. And we hope to send a resounding no this time again.
Absolutely. Wonderful to hear that. And again, for people then who are and have the possibility to actually come from other European countries, go to Ireland. Just for the matter here, clarify for me, is the vote on 2nd of October this year? And if so, when would you recommend that people actually, or when would you guys recommend that people actually go over there? A few days ahead of time, the day the vote is on, or what would you say?
Anytime they can, Henrik, coming up to the vote. The vote is the 2nd of October, which is a Friday, which might be good for the no side, because some people mightn't bother going to their polling stations, but the no people definitely will. The no people are more, you know, determined to vote. But, and, you know, the week leading up to the Lisbon Treaty, the week beforehand, there's going to be all sorts of marches and protests and there'll be all sorts going on. But, you know, even if you want to arrive on the day or the day before, you know, everything will help. And, if, you know, there's plenty of cheap hostels and, you know, hotels around Ireland everywhere. And, you know, every bit will help.
Can people who are listening contact you guys in any way if they want to hook up, or are you in Belfast right now? Will you like be around that day, or do you have plans yet for where you're going to be and what you're going to do?
We're actually based in Dublin, but we have, you know, Paul here is actually from Cork, and I'm from Dublin, and we have, you know, people in Galway, and we've people from, you know, all the major cities around Ireland and the small towns. But you know, if people want to get in contact, just go onto the Truth Coalition website, or the, you know, sovereignindependence.org or truthcoalitionireland.org, and, you know, drop us an email, get in contact. We'll respond as quick as we can. We are quite busy with emails and, you know, a number of people contacting us, but we seem to get back to people within 24 to 48 hours. And if they want us to, you know, try and help find them accommodation or anything like that, we'd be only happy to help.
Plus, the thing too, people have been, you know, reading about the subject for many, many years, and they're kind of wondering, is there anything I can do?
Yes.
This is a wonderfully exciting time. At the same time, it's daunting in some ways, but it's exciting because
there is movement. You know, 2-3 years ago, you're talking about, you know, European leader mentioning that, you'd be called, you know, crazy. But nowadays, it's not seen as crazy because, you know, we can see right in front of our eyes. We can see what the end goal is, and they're becoming much more obvious about it. And the fastest way to make a dictatorship fall is make it act like a dictatorship. So if we act right now, there's no reason we can't defeat this.
That's right.
And the thing about it is, it's the only way we can do this. The alternative to ignoring this, to saying, oh, it doesn't exist, is unthinkable.
Yeah.
So just think about, you know, even the simple things. Like, think about your kids, you know, if you've got kids, or think about anything like that. You know, it's you know, it might sound cliche, but it's only then you actually enjoy life when you're thinking about other people besides yourself. And...
Absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you guys as well. Have you been sending out copies of the paper yet? And when do you hope to have the second one coming out? If indeed you can fund a second printing of this paper?
Yes, we're actually going to print this weekend, Henrik, and early next week we'll be out on the street handing them out. We're also going to offer the paper on the website on southernindependent.com or .org, and people can download it and, you know, bring it to the printers. They can, you know, print it on A3, even A4. We've tested it. It's actually very legible on A4. And or they can actually go and, you know, get thousands of copies printed for relatively cheap in, you know, all, you know, countries around Europe. So if they want to hand out this paper, obviously a lot of it is to do with Ireland, simply because, you know, it's been put out to the Irish people. There is stuff that relates to the rest of Europe and really explains the Lisbon Treaty. But we have information about swine flu and about the vaccine and Baxter, and, you know, we have information about fluoride. Ireland is actually one of the only countries still to have fluoride in their water.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, doctors writing for us. We have, you know, about the fisheries. We have a number of different articles that will really explain, you know, all the different corruption and what is wrong with Ireland and Europe, and, you know, what needs to be changed around Europe.
I think it's important not only for people about just this vote, but to realise that, you know, with or without Nova, we're in the fight of our lives, and really just to get people thinking, get people, like, don't think the way we are. Go find your own answers, but just don't listen to corporate media.
You mentioned that you kind of had the economic issue kind of as a prominent featured one in your paper. Do you have info about how much money the EU actually costs, and about all the frauds? There have been multiple exposures in German television, for instance, about the allowance fraud that takes place by a lot of the MEPs. Do you have stuff like that in the paper as well?
We do indeed, Henrik. And yeah, we're pointing out to people that I think it's about a million euros a day goes missing within the EU, and that they've never actually balanced the budget. And we're really pointing that out to people, that, you know, especially are concerned about the economy and about, you know, where our money and everybody's money around Europe is going, and all the taxpayers. And we've a number of, you know, bailouts happening for banks in Ireland at the moment. And we need to, you know, we're trying to point out to people that they're putting tax on, you know, every child that hasn't even been born yet is getting, you know, 20,000 euros tax put on their head just as they're born. And, you know, everybody is going to face this.
Like, we even think it's bad in the United States, with like something like $24 trillion being pumped into the system over there.
Mm.
And they're, you know, waiting on hyperinflation practically. But the thing with over here, we've got like guarantees on banks in Eastern Europe, across Europe, something like $24 trillion if you're going by the Daily Telegraph. So, you know, basically being part of Europe has really hindered everybody's economy. So we've got to get rid of this notion where you're a big country, you're going to prosper. You know, some of the most wealthiest countries in the world are small, trade with other countries, and, you know, their people are looked after. You know, when you centralize power the way it is happening in Europe, the elites benefit, and nobody else does.
Yeah, that's right. And go ahead.
And another thing, Henrik, like, a lot of people, they tend to, because people advocate a no vote, they tend to say, you know, you're Eurosceptic. We're not Eurosceptic. We actually, you know, believe in Europe, want to be part of Europe, agree with the trade, but we do not agree with a constitution that overrides our own constitution. And, you know, we don't mind being European citizens, but we're Irish citizens first, and we want to stick with our own constitution that gives us our rights. We don't want to hand off, you know, our powers to European elites that none of us elected, any of us in Europe didn't elect. And we don't see a problem with Europe as long as it's a, you know, free trade and everything out in the open.
Yes. I want to ask you guys, if we have 10,000 people listening to this show that would be donating €1 each, that's nothing individually. You guys will have around 10,000 euros. What would you do with that money, and how could you reach people with that amount of money?
With 10,000 euros, Henrik, we could get another 100,000 to 120,000 copies of the paper, and that's exactly what we do. Any donations that we've received, which I really have to say thank you to everybody across Europe and in Ireland for, you know, all this money being donated, it really is going to a good cause. And every penny that is raised is going into the printing of the paper. We were saying printing and distribution, but we have plenty of volunteers that will, you know, work for nothing and distribute the paper for us. So every single penny we get, including our own wages, Henrik, I must stress that
we're all pumping money into this.
We've all put in, you know, hundreds ourselves, and every penny we can raise has been put in. Now, we actually have a bit of a fundraiser. We have Scott Tipps, who is basically the editor of Health Freedom News, and he's the president and legal counsel for the NHF.
Yes.
He's coming over to do a talk on Codex Alimentarius, which is, you know, which Ireland and the rest of the world is going to have to face December this year. And he's coming over to talk to all the different health shops and chemists. And we have an event going on, which is we're going to have the Sovereign Independent there to hand out to these people and give them a number of copies to give out to, you know, everybody in the health industry across Ireland. So we have a fundraiser happening as well, which will allow us to print a second edition of the same paper, but it'll be a second run as such. And we've a number of things going on, and, you know, just the more money we raise, the more papers we put out, you know, half a million copies is our target, and that will be a massive impact. It would be great if we can surpass that. That would be even, you know, more than we could dream for.
That's the one thing, you know, like, none of this money will go into administrative costs. Everything will go towards the paper.
Yeah.
Not a single cent will be wasted or anything else. Even some raw money's gone in, as Simon said, like, every single cent will go towards this. And think about the impact this will have on somebody. Because a lot of people, you know, I learned about the New World Order through the internet. A lot of people really probably won't even go on a website or think if they see something on a website, it's not real.
Yeah.
But if they see this action on the ground, they see something stirring, and they see, you know, a newspaper, and they see people like Scott Tipps, you know, writing for this, and Anthony Coughlin, you know, important people like that, you know, people with great backgrounds writing about things like this.
Yes.
People are going to have to stand up and take notice. You know, these people have something to say. Take it on board. And, you know, the whole cliche, we have to wake up and just kind of see where our country's going.
Absolutely. More people should, again, just go over there and show from the rest of the European countries, should go over there and just show what they think about this and help to provide the right information to the Irish people. And I also want to ask you guys if you're hooking up with other organizations and groups right now that have share the similar interests as you do, or is there some kind of schism or division here that is tricky to bypass, or can you do you feel that you pretty much can unite under getting a no vote at this point?
Yeah, I've actually attended a number of different meetings, like the Irish anti-war movement, and they've written an article for the paper. And there's a No to Lisbon group, and they've written for the paper. It's actually a collaboration of, you know, all sorts of groups. Although the Truth Coalition are the ones putting out the paper, we have some very, very respectable groups and people writing for the paper and that have put in articles that are absolutely fantastic. As I said, we've got a doctor from, you know, he's a professor and teaches in one of our head colleges in Dublin. It's actually Trinity College. And he's wrote an article about fluoride and, you know, about, there's another article from another doctor explaining about the propaganda fear and, you know, don't be afraid. And, you know, there's people that have wrote about the vaccinations for the swine flu and a number of different things. Like, it really is a collaboration of groups. and we're supporting them as much as we can. There's another event taking place in Shannon to stop, you know, rendition flights coming in through Shannon and flying out to Afghanistan and a number of countries. And, you know, we have proof of them. There's plenty of groups down there taking pictures of these CIA planes. And, you know, there's a big kind of meeting and protest taking place. I think it is the 13th of September in Shannon. And there's going to be European media and world media basically at that event. And we're trying to get as many people down to that. We're not the organisers. It's actually the Irish anti-war movement that are organising it. But we'll show our face. We'll have papers. We'll hand them out, you know, and really kind of get this movement going before all the propaganda really starts to hit home.
Absolutely. And again, €1 each. I mean, skip a cigarette, skip a pint, skip a freaking baguette or, you know, bratwurst or a Swedish meatball, whatever, and spend that money on a donation to Truth Coalition Ireland. How would people easiest go about doing that, guys?
If they go on to the sovereignindependent.org or .com, and there's a donate button, and they can donate through PayPal or credit card or, you know, a number of different ways.
Yeah, as much as little as you can contribute, even €1.
€1 from, you know, 10,000 people, €1 from 1,000 people. Every single euro will go towards papers, and it will mean, you know, a big difference.
You don't have to worry about it being too little or whatever. Just, you know, whatever you can spare, you know.
Absolutely. We've received donations, you know, from 5 to 100, you know. We've absolutely, it doesn't matter. Every little, you know, every cent counts.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, is there anything more that you'd like to say? You have the opportunity now to those who are tuning into this program. If there's some more information you'd like to get out there or some other websites that you want to mention?
No, just those two websites, Hendrik, just the sovereignindependent.org and the truthcoalitionireland.org. And just all we can say is, you know, it's down to the Irish people, but it really is up to the European people to really, you know, this is their chance to have a voice, to, you know, I know people asking for donations, you know, myself, I'd be always saying, oh, well, but this really will go towards the paper, and we're going to make it available for everybody online so that they can download it and they can print it, they can email it to friends, they can put it on their blogs, on their websites. Just, you know, we can really make this go European-wide and really get out to the people in Ireland to understand, like, you know, as you know, most media around the world is controlled by the few, and even in Ireland, 80% of the media is owned by one person, and you get the exact same story from every single paper, and there's only one or two that, you know, seem to be a little bit, you know, unbiased.
And anybody's dissenting voices is crazy all of a sudden.
Exactly. Anybody who... But because we have so many good people writing for this paper and so many, you know, good organisations that, and we're getting everything checked out legally to make sure it's all, you know, perfectly accurate. Anything that we figured out that has been, you know, not 100%, we've dropped. We're just sticking completely to the facts, and we're trying to make this, you know, absolutely unpenetrable with the Irish media trying to attack us, which we know will happen.
I decided a long time ago, like a lot of us, we're just going to spend every hour of every day dedicated towards this. I spend about 10 hours a day, and a lot of the other guys do as well, just researching. If you worry, you know, sometimes when people donate, they might know who it is. I put every single bit of my being into this. I don't want to see my country, you know, go down the pan because of one vote. It's not going to be just because of one vote either. We've got the fight of our lives on. We've got to make people just start thinking, start questioning information. You know, if people make a claim, where is the evidence for that claim? You know, it's got to start with something, and it has to start now.
Absolutely, and we will definitely keep an eye on this, and we'd like to have you both back on the program again and to do another show before the 2nd October voting here again. And again, fantastic job, guys. Simon and Paul, thank you so much for your work and your time. And I urge people again to go to sovereignindependent.org or truthcoalitionireland.org and make your donation there. Thank you very much, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Henry. Cheers, man. Thank you, everybody else.
Thanks, Ben.